I've said before, it's a beautiful sight to be here. This is a special place for me in my heart. It's a blessing to be in a room with this specific congregation, and it's an honor to be here. Several years, I have used this daily devotional. It's Today in the Word. It's a publication of Moody Bible Institute. It has monthly themes in it. And this particular month, which is August of this year, its theme is People Encounter Jesus. Now, each day it's a different person who literally interacted with Jesus when he was walking on the earth. And you flip through here and it's such a fascinating study of different people. Some are people that we know about, some are people that are less known. But I came to one that's in the middle of the month, and it's titled A Fisherman Named Andrew, and that captured my attention. And that's the inspiration for this talk. How about these talks that we've had this semester? They've been some pretty phenomenal talks. And just going down through the titles, we've got Spiritual Legacy. What is your legacy? Marriage Matters from a Biblical Perspective. First Love, a Call to Action. Looking at people through the lens of Jesus. That's sometimes not as easy to do, is it? Testing our instruments, trusting the Holy Spirit, especially when we're afraid. Dealing with frustration, distractions, our businesses, day-to-day lives, Mary and Martha, and somehow we need to find the right balance between Mary and Martha. Identity, a new life to live. We are chosen by God, saved by grace, guided by the Holy Spirit. Now we live by that grace. That talk particularly touched me because there's a song. I've got it noted on the bottom of your table guide. It's by Matthew West. It's titled, Hello, My Name Is. And that, I encourage you to go out there and have a look at that. It's a powerful song, and it's got a phrase in there that's, I am a child of the one true King. And I mean, it's a God bump song. Then we have Praying It Through, Circle Makers, Bold Prayers, Pray Without Ceasing. And I can tell you, guys, I've been receiving text messages and email messages today of people praying for this message and for its delivery. And that's people praying it through. That's Circle Makers. That's people giving bold prayers so that this message can reach out and touch people. As a matter of fact, one of the guys who's normally here just happens to be on a 5-day hike in the Grand Canyon. He's promised to pray for me. This message is being prayed for from the Grand Canyon. How cool is that? And that makes me happy, happy, happy. I had to work that in. The next is discovering our gifts and talents, influencing others for Christ, and challenging us to get into the game. And today it's Andrew the Available, the first disciple. And how does that fit into the picture? Well, the devotional inspired me, and I got to thinking about the disciples and what a cool study it would be to study the 12 disciples, to really dive deep into them. And I did a little bit of that, and there's too much material for this teaching. So then it boiled down to just a few of the disciples, and then namely Andrew. And it's interesting, the disciples are listed, I found, in four places, three of the Gospels and in Acts. And they're kind of listed pretty much in the same way. Peter and Andrew, they're brothers. James and John, they're brothers. Then Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas, Matthew, and then James, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot. Now, when they say Simon the Zealot, every time they say Simon, that guy's got to have some character to him. That'd be an interesting man. Judas Iscariot. Luke and Acts refer to Judas, son of James, instead of Thaddeus. And Acts lists the 11 plus the addition of Matthias. However, the Gospel of John does not list them. At least I did not find it. But it does mention Nathanael, and sometimes Bartholomew and Nathanael are thought to be the same person. I don't really know if they are, but some people think they are. So what is it about Andrew, the first disciple? So I looked at where Jesus called the first disciples, and that's called in each of the Gospels. Matthew and Mark, they don't have a lot of detail. You get this picture that Andrew and Simon, they're out doing their fishing thing. Jesus appears and says, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men," and they follow him. And that's about the extent of the detail. Luke chapter 5 goes into a little bit more detail, and they talk about a miraculous catch. They'd been fishing all night. They're up on the shore cleaning their nets, tired. Jesus comes along and says, "Go back out. Put your nets out in deep water." The catch was so great they had to have help. And at that point, Jesus claimed Peter to make him fisherman of men. John goes into a little bit more detail. And this is where I'm going to pick up the story from the scriptures. I like to have people stand. I don't want you to stand today, but I want you to take a moment to become very reverent as I read the scriptures. Pinch your earlobe if you have to stay focused. Become very reverent as we read this. John 1, starting in verse 29 through 34, just paraphrase, this is where John the Baptist is proclaiming Jesus to be the Messiah. And then right after that, we pick up in 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples, two of John the Baptist's disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. I'm going to stop right there. These two disciples hung out with Jesus for a day, interacting with the man. They looked in his eyes. And I can't even imagine what that would be like as a human being looking into the eyes of Jesus during that time. It goes on. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John said and who had followed Jesus. Right there, Andrew is one of the two of John the Baptist's disciples who started following Jesus. Andrew, the first disciple. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus. The story goes on just a little bit. The next day, Jesus was deciding to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth, can anything come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," Philip said. So, in my mind, Philip perhaps was the other disciple with Andrew. And this is kind of the way I visualize it. We read scripture, and then my mind kind of likes to work and just kind of fill in the gaps of little pieces and just kind of wonder how it could have come down. And this is Jeff's iteration of how it happened. Andrew and maybe Philip are with John the Baptist. Andrew and maybe Philip spend a day with Jesus. Andrew goes to see his brother Simon. Philip goes to Nathanael. Jesus comes across the path of Andrew and his brother. And then it takes place somewhat like Luke told it with the miraculous catch. At this point, they find Philip and Nathanael and they head off to Galilee. The party started. The ministry has begun. The bottom line is, Andrew brought Peter to Jesus. Now we move on up to another familiar story about feeding the 5,000. And again, this is covered by all four of the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they refer in the story to the disciples as just generically they. They don't mention names. But again, John puts some names in it. So I'm going to read a few verses from John 6. Again, pinch your ear if you need to. Get a little bit extra reverent as we read the Gospel. Starting in verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, 8 months' wages would not be enough to buy bread for each one to have a bite. Another disciple of his, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go against so many?" Andrew brought the boy, the bread, and the fish to Jesus. Even if he doesn't understand how it was, he brought it to Jesus. Simply put, Andrew, his legacy is he brought people to Jesus. That's what Andrew was about. He was prepared and watching for the Messiah. He anticipated the Messiah coming. He made himself available to be a disciple, even if he did not know what he was doing. He was tuned in to what was happening around him. He made do with what he had, and he shared what he learned. So how can you get in the game? Kent challenged us last week to get in the game. And how can you get in the game? And there's a number of ways. I personally feel the number one thing that you can do to get in the game is to prepare yourself to get in the game. Before you do anything else, you have to be prepared. You have to be willing. You have to go out and put yourself out on a limb, or else you're useless. At that point, there's the local church to be engaged in. Beyond that, there's local ministries that need volunteers. There's all kinds of places where you can get into the game. But the first point is to get yourself ready. This is what I have now is one method to get in the game. This is my method that I'm going to share with you. And this is a method that I think that will get, if you do this, what I'm going to share with you, what I'm going to teach you, it's going to arm you to go to work with the Holy Spirit. It's going to get your mind in line with God, and you're going to come alongside with the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be in tune to the Holy Spirit's lead as you go about your day. So I have a prayer that I say every morning. And the prayer is a combination of two parts. One, it comes from First Chronicles chapter 4, the prayer of Jabez. I want to stop right here. Last semester in March, we had a talk about the prayer of Jabez. It was an awesome talk. I encourage you to go back and listen to that talk. I believe it was March 30th, if I have that correct. The second half of the prayer is from Ephesians 6, the armor of God. From those two scriptures, I've formed a personal prayer that I say, and above all, it gets me in line, and it makes me available, and it puts me out there. And I want to share that with you. Actually, what I want to do, the prayer kind of as I say it is written on your sheet. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to close this talk with that prayer for all of us. I'm going to change the words of my prayer so it's praying for all of us. Now, I don't want you to bow your head. I want you to tune in as I walk through this prayer. And I want you to visualize what's happening as we go through this prayer. And I'm convinced if you say this prayer often, you will be putting yourself out there. You're saying, "Use me, God. I'm here. I'm available." Let me be tuned into the Holy Spirit. Let me see what you want. Let me hear your voice. It goes something like this. Oh, that you would bless us now, today, right now, this moment. Lord, bless us right now, this moment. Enlarge our territory of influence for your glory, not my gain. And I have to say that. Area of influence for your glory, for His glory, because if I just say enlarge my territory, I'm thinking of new toys for Jeff. I'm thinking of more stuff. So I have to put that in there for your glory, not my gain. Let your hand be with us, all of us, as we go out from here, and keep us from harm. And that's the attacks by Satan. So when you say this prayer, you're putting yourself out there. You're opening yourself up for attacks. So you gotta ask for the hand of protection as you go out there, and you're expecting that protection. Then it moves on. And this part, I want you to visualize this. And I hope I can get this right without looking, because I want you to visualize this. Dress me today, Lord, in your armor of God, as I put on the belt of truth of the gospel, as I put on the sandals of the peace of the gospel. From there, I put on the breastplate that's going to protect me, which is the breastplate of righteousness. From there, I pick up the helmet that's going to protect my head, and I put it on, and it's the helmet of salvation. And I pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and I'm alive, and I'm tuned up, and I'm ready to go for the day. At this point, it's like you're in a huddle, one-on-one huddle, with the Holy Spirit saying, let's go. Good day, man.